Welcome to Voice of DeKalb Podcast. Your voice, your stories, your DeKalb. And here's your host, Marla Jones.
Hey y'all, I am Marla with Voice of DeKalb, and we are here at the beautiful Grand Oaks Farm here. And we have a very, very special guest, Miss Ann Keefe. How are you today?
I'm doing great. How can you not be great in the weather like this and beautiful settings?
So. Yes. Now, what you are from Florida, but you have a long story we'll get into, but you're presently in Florida. What brings you to Alabama?
Well, my husband and I like to RV a lot, and we RV all over the country. We will complete all lower 48 this year, this summer. And we had the pleasure of being here 2 years ago out on the farm and coming through town. We wanted to stay again and just see the changes and the growth and visit good friends, good people. Mm-hmm. And so we're just honored to be here.
Well, we are so honored that you stopped and wanted us to do an interview with you, because you are you have quite the story. So go ahead and tell us a little bit about your story.
Well, it's truly an amazing story. God gave me the story. I just wrote it down, so I can't take credit for the story. But it is one of a journey of discovery, of connecting with my birth family in Germany. I was born in Germany. I was adopted by Americans. My adoptive parents were in Germany for 11 years, so I lived in Germany the first 9.5 years of my life. My father, my adoptive father, was chief of prisons division and involved with the Nuremberg trials after World War II, so he was stationed there. And great childhood. I have no complaints. This is not a venture of any disappointment in my growing up or anything like that. It was just wanting to connect the rest of my story. My parents both passed away in 1996 and buried in Arlington Cemetery. And I thought, I want to find out the rest of the story. I still didn't do it for a number of years, but I didn't do it while they were alive because I didn't want to potentially hurt their feelings. So the journey of discovery, literally, my book's more about miracles than anything, because things unfolded that were just unbelievable. I mean, yes, the internet helped, but things happened that could not have been the internet. I'd always heard that my parents had the adoption papers. When we closed up their house, we couldn't find them. And so a few years later, my brother had things in storage. So I have a natural born brother. He's 5 years older. And so we went out to the storage unit and spent all day trying to find the adoption papers. Didn't think we were going to find them. My brother said, "Did you check that box up there?" And I thought, no, I hadn't. So I pulled the box down, and it looked like it was just full of bank papers, bank statements. And I just felt inclined to keep digging through it, and I found this old folder, fairly thin folder, had my adoption papers and various other papers about the adoption, and discovered that my mother was a Baroness and my father was listed as unknown. And I had no idea how I was going to find out who he was. I had fortuitously met somebody in the Destin area where we live, who had a business there, and he was from Germany. And he was excited there was a case number, so he helped me to track down the records of that. And for a weekend, I thought that my mother was still alive and that they were going to contact her to see if she was willing to see me. And then through other means, found out that she had passed away a number of years prior. And but I was put in contact with a first cousin, and then ultimately with an aunt and some other first cousins. And they welcomed me with open arms. They never questioned my legitimacy. My aunt had, aunt by marriage, four cousins, aunt by marriage. She had heard about me, and she didn't know if I was a girl or a boy or anything further. She just knew I existed. And she'd actually even had a chalk painting or chalk drawing of my mother, my birth mother, from when she was 8 or 9. And she took it off her wall and had it framed and gave it to me. And she actually had this ring made for me, which is the nobility ring, the crest of my birth mother, and could tell me a lot about my birth mother, which was awesome. And took us touring. Our adult children went with us too, and it was wonderful. Nobody knew who my father was, though. Had no idea how I was going to find that out. went through every avenue we could think of, and probably 7 or 8 years later, this is one of the biggest miracles. There was a lady named Sigrid. She wrote the foreword in the book. She was 84, I think, at the time. And she was flying back to Washington, D.C., where she actually lived about 10 miles from where I spent the second half of my childhood. I could have seen her in the stores. Even we had a friend in common. A friend of my parents went to her church, and she always wondered about me. She was my birth mother. My birth mother's name was Marion, so to be less confusing, I will say Marion. Mm-hmm. She was Marion's best friend. And she knew I existed, she knew I was a female, and she knew I was adopted by Americans, but she didn't know how she knew, because Marion never even admitted to being pregnant. And, you know, in those days, you just didn't. Mm-hmm. And Sigrid actually kept a diary, and in the diary, she wrote when she was shocked to see Marion out with a much older man, said he looked to be also of nobility, had white hair, and she kept that image in her mind all these years. And she said she can remember his image more than some of the images from her childhood friends. So she always wondered about me because she knew I was in the States. And we did find out later how she found out, but she had also written in her diary how she was shocked to see Marion pregnant. And that Marion was going to go traveling in January, and Sigrid said, I bet she comes back much thinner. She'd written that in her diary. And I was born March 1st, and Marion came back much thinner. Mm-hmm. And so Sigrid, knowing that Marion had died 26 years prior to this, mm-hmm. Sigrid got home, didn't even take off her coat, went to the computer, mind you, 84-year-old lady, went to the computer, searched an internet search for Marion's name, and my name came up because I had things online because I was still trying to find out who my father was. And so my information was there. She called me up, said, I'm a lifelong friend of your birth mother in Germany. And she didn't know who my father was either, though. Mm-hmm. She said, why don't you get your German birth certificate, which none of us had ever thought to do. And so I did. And written in the margin, about a week after my adoption was finalized, which was about 6 or 7 weeks after I was born, my father attested to being my father. And that's how I found out his name. And just written in the margin. Now we have a picture of it in the book. Mm-hmm. So I started obviously searching for his name, found out he started the Wooden Church Crusade to build churches all over Western Germany. And through that research, I was able to connect with somebody that actually knew him and his third wife. My mother was Marion was between wife one and wife two. And this person that knew him, her husband was the former president or CEO of Burlington Mills, and he and Henning, who was my birth father, started the Wooden Church Crusade to build churches all over Western Germany after World War II, and they used U.S. money to do this to try to drive down any interest in communism. They would put it near the borders, they would ring the bells near the borders so that the people on the other side, for instance, of the Berlin Wall, would hear these bells, and actually it became so contentious in the enemy side that they moved the people away from the border so they couldn't hear the bells and tore down some of their homes. So there were supposed to be 49 churches, one for each state and D.C. They had 20-some, 30-some. There's been some confusion on the number. And then Germany was able financially to build their own churches. I've been in just one of the churches. And there are so many miracles that have come off of that one church. There were some ornaments that were made. I found two out of the three. The one I didn't find happened to be that one church. And those ornaments were made in early 2000, the blown glass German mm-hmm. ornaments. I have since, for those who read the book and say I couldn't find the second one, I found the second one about 2 years ago. So the story literally keeps continuing. Mm-hmm. I have a cousin who just heard my story 6 months ago, and she just came over from Germany last week. And I got to meet her. So I found out a lot of history online, connected with a blogger in England who knew his first wife, learned a lot about the second wife who was at Rutgers, and learned about the third wife, this lady that I'd connected with. First picture I got, other than what I saw online, was of my birth father and this third wife. And so all of it just ties together like a tapestry. Mm-hmm. It was almost like, you like this over here? Let me show you this over here. Mm-hmm. You know, there were just so many little things to notice, like dates that were similar to other dates, mm-hmm. things like that, that it was just amazing to learn. And the contacts I made and the friends I made and the blessings that came, side blessings. Like one of the other miracles, I was at a Chamber of Commerce meeting in Destin and got talking to a couple about inflatable paddle boards. It was a paddleboard store. And they happened to be stationed in Germany, not at the same time as each other, and they weren't married to each other at the time. And I was sharing a little bit about my story. Mm-hmm. And I told him that I had met, and this is another little part, I'm trying not to go off tangent, but there's another little part, that I actually met the lady who arranged my adoption, was living with my birth mother and grandfather at the time, knew Bosset's parents, took my mother to the hospital when I was born, and was there when I was given my adoptive parents. And her name was Dorothy Crockett. Normally I didn't mention names. I happened to mention it there. And this gentleman said, I know a Dorothy Crockett from Germany who lives in Denver, and I call her Dodo. So I went into a side room, called her up, and said, you know, somebody calls you Dodo, and she was his godmother. And his mother was her first cousin. So all these side blessings came, and then he went out to visit her. That wouldn't have happened otherwise. She had been at his first wedding and didn't know the second one, the second wife. So, and his brother went to her 100th birthday. So other little things came off of his story. But the way I found Dodo, to kind of go back to where I was, is once we found my German birth certificate, one of my cousins in Germany, she and I kept trying to figure out who it was that signed it. Mm-hmm. Her name was Dorothy von Wagenheim, which was another baroness name, who turned out to be Dorothy Crockett. But we wound up going through all kinds of sources to find out who she was. Well, then my cousin looked in a book of nobility, and in that book it said that this Dorothy von Wagenheim married Bill Crockett. Then we were able to trace things through Bill Crockett. My adoptive parents had always told me that my aunt had moved to the U.S. and they would be in touch with her maybe someday. Turned out this was the aunt, but she wasn't really an aunt. But again, as you tie the story together, you could see where different things were fitting. And Bill Crockett actually worked with my adoptive father. He was also an attorney. And Dorothy, her husband was killed in the war, and she had a son. He was four by then. And she was very good in English and was an interpreter for this Bill Crockett, who worked with my adoptive father, and they knew that my parents wanted to adopt a child. So that's how she came to arrange that to happen. And for her to be able to tell me details of what time my birth mother went into labor, and she craved a cheese sandwich, and to say the reaction that my birth mother had when she first saw me, and that my birth mother went going through the military PX with a big white coat wrapped around a pillow, saying, I'm pregnant, I need to get supplies. And I could just see my adoptive mother doing that. That's such a great sense of humor. So to hear all these kind of stories was just incredible. You know, I didn't get to meet my parents, but I got the next best thing. And so the way we found Dorothy is we also, my cousin had guest books that my grandfather used to entertain a lot. He was one of the few people that had jobs after the war, and we feel that that's why my birth father was at these parties, looking for the free alcohol, probably. I don't know. But, you know, lots of times you just speculate things mm-hmm. as you go through this. You don't really know. You just try to fill in the gaps and make it a real your imagination to make it seem real. Mm-hmm. But he was at these parties, and he often signed these guest books. And I know that through Sigrid that I wasn't a one-night stand. I was born 8 months after Sigrid had written that. You know, things like that are just nice to be able to put in the pieces. And the last signature that my birth father did, he was quote-unquote a permanent guest in Germany. And I figured, okay, they would have known by then that Marion was pregnant, and I was probably the permanent guest in the family. So, you know, so interesting things like that that get tied together. But I did a lot of research. I found out that Hindenburg was my great-great uncle, a very famous general. Erich von Manstein was a great uncle. Interesting story about how he was born of von Walensky, which was my birth father's name, and how he became a von Manstein, but he was really a von Lewinsky, all that, you know, a lot of details mm-hmm. in the book. So lot of history, but I couldn't find any living relatives. They didn't tend to do the DNA. They already knew their bloodline and their family tree. And so I thought my book was done. And I was getting ready to just go over all the details. I had done the DNA things, not getting a lot of luck. Everything was third generation and beyond. And they couldn't even specify third generation. It was always and beyond. Mm-hmm. But somebody had contacted me through one of those sites about 7 months prior and asked if I had ever uploaded my DNA to this other site called GEDmatch. And I had never heard of it. I thought she was trying to sell me something. So I looked into it, and it's free. It's one, I think, that's used a lot by police to track down records and all. I don't even understand it. It goes into a lot of genetics. The only thing I understood when I did upload was one column that said generation. There was one person, not any of the same last name, who was generation 3.5, and only one person. I thought, well, that's pretty specific. I'll just email this one person. Mm-hmm. So I did. Told them my mother's name, my father's name, said, I don't know if we're related or not. And it turned out that he is an attorney, I think he was 32 at the time. He's a third cousin, an attorney living in a castle in Germany. And he was good friends with the son of a first cousin, and all of a sudden they had four living first cousins in Germany.
Oh, wow.
And timing was unbelievable, because 2 months later they were having a family reunion, which they have every 2 years. And my husband and I went over, and I met 60 or 70 relatives all at once. I'm not normally a nervous person. I was very nervous. My German was very limited. I'd forgotten most of it. I didn't even know if they knew who Henning was, because he would have been over 100 by then. Mm-hmm. He was 45 when I was born. My mother was 18. That's the reason they didn't get married. The grandparents were the ones that would make the decision at that time, because you had to be 21 to make the decision whether you're keeping the child. And my grandmother had deserted the family when my mother was 13, so it was up to my grandfather, to make the decision. And so, going over there, because he was so much older, I wasn't sure if anybody would even know who he was. I had the pleasure of meeting so many relatives, and one in particular, who was this General Eric von Manstein's son. I wanted to know why, like, supposedly my father, he was very entrepreneurial, and he was trying to sell titles at one point, and I didn't know whether he'd sold the title or what was behind that. I didn't know if it was legal, and there was talk that he was going to be kicked out of the family, and I said, you know, why was he not? And then he could kind of give some backstory that it was because it wasn't worth the bother. So it's, but you know, after the war, you just did different things to try to make some money. He eventually moved to the States, of course, doing the Wooden Church Crusade, and then he had an Anthurium farm in Hawaii. And that's where he died at the age of 79. And I connected with somebody in Australia that knew the third wife after Henning had died, so learned a little bit more about her, but she had also passed away. I found out, a lot of people said, do you have any brothers or sisters? So the quick answer is no, but maybe, you know. Mm-hmm. My birth mother, there are reasons to believe that she was pregnant a second time, and I go into that more in the book. But the German Department of Records, and they're very good with records, said they don't have any record of another child, so not sure what happened there. And my father and his second marriage, my birth father, they had a child who died of, I think it was a brain tumor, when she was a toddler. I couldn't find out the exact age, but young. And my father liked older women. His third wife was only 9 months, I think it was about 9 months, or maybe a year and a half, close to my birth mother's age, and this was like the third wife versus between wife one and wife two. So he did like younger women. All three of the wives that he married were in their 20s when he married them. And so maybe I have another sibling out there somewhere, I don't know. But because the story is still continuing, I think if I do have one, I'll find out someday.
So do you think you'll ever write a second part to your book?
Doubtful. It's possible, because a number of things have happened since then, but not enough yet to make up a whole book. But I love to speak to groups, and so I can share more of the story afterwards.
Right.
Like, for instance, the person who wrote the review on the back, she's an adoption attorney. I never even met her until I handed her a copy of my book. and how that happened. You know, I can share stories like that when I talk about it, but it's not enough to write another book at this point. And, you know, there's a lot of expense of writing a book. I don't do it for the money. I'll probably never make back what I spent, but that's not the point. I want to share the story. And the story never grows old. It just continues.
Well, your life seems so doubly blessed by, you know, finding your real parents, family, and your adoptive parents.
Absolutely.
And so in your story, there's a lot of God winks. I see a lot of that.
I even say in the book, I don't believe in coincidences. I believe in God incidences or God winks or, you know, prophetic things, all kinds of other words. But there's so many things that happen that I personally feel there has to be a God. You know, what are the odds, if people were making odds, of an 84-year-old lady thinking about, the reason she hadn't looked me up, I don't know if I got that part in, that she saw somebody in the plane that she thought, if my birth mother had a granddaughter, would look like that person. And that's why she was inclined to go back home and look up my birth mother's name. And how does that happen? You know, yes, the internet helped her find me, but the internet didn't put my mother's thought in the thought to look for me in her mind. So I see so many blessings in it that I just have to share the story. And I love sharing the story because it's real. You know, nothing's made up. It's not a novel. It's real. And I did have a wonderful childhood. Ironically, my adoptive father was also a general. So I've got generals on both sides of the family. And so I had a great childhood. It's not about that. I'd love to tell them about it now. I'm not sure how my father would receive it. I think my mother would be great about it. I go into a little bit in there about that. I wondered if my parents knew my birth father's name. I never thought to ask that question. One of the miracles was how I found out that my parents did know my birth father's name. And the way, the short version of how that happened is my adoptive grandmother did a lot of genealogy. And she went over, I was born in 1948, and she went over to Germany in 1948 to visit my parents and to meet me. I was 4 months old at the time, and of course visit my brother, 5 years older. And she always kept genealogy records and journals and all. And so my adoptive aunt in her mid-90s, quote unquote, happened to find some of the materials from my grandmother in her home. I didn't know she'd found the materials. I didn't know she'd sent me any materials. And she sent them at the same time that the Sigrid was visiting me at my home during a 5-day period. And one of these materials, there were pictures, and I write about it in the book too. There were pictures, similar pictures from my childhood to what I saw as an adult when I first went to meet the cousin. And in there, in her journal, she was always writing names of people and all. Well, she wrote my name when I was born, and she wrote Marion, my birth mother's name, when she was born, how old she was when I was born, and then she wrote my birth father's name and how old he was when I was born and what his birthday was. And that told me that my adoptive parents knew my real father's name. And that was just so amazing how to get that answer literally after my parents were gone and I didn't have another chance to ask. So it's really cool to see these things happen.
Well, Blessed by Adoption will be at the Fort Payne Library. Miss Cynthia will have that. If you'd like to check out her book, and you also, can you order it on Amazon?
You know, Amazon is not the most friendly to authors.
Oh, okay.
Yes, you can. Short answer, particularly if you're doing like a Kindle.
Right.
But I feel like I give people a good bargain if they order from my website, which is the same name as the book, blessedbyadoption.com.
Okay.
And I will personally autograph it. I don't charge shipping in the United States, and I cover the tax. And I include a business card and a bookmark, and just, I love to share the story. So if they don't want to do it that way and want to do Amazon, fine. I just want to share the story. But again, even if you don't want to buy the book, if you want to see some of the, there's a lot of pictures in the book, and if you want to see them in color on the website, feel free to go to blessedbyadoption.com and look at some colors. Because another real quick thing, one other very important chapter in there, nothing to do with my adoption. My adoptive parents, with my father being involved with the Nuremberg trials and all, they wanted to leave something to Germany. And there's a very famous clock tower at City Hall in Munich. And they have a pageant, a two-level pageant that goes around with life-size figures, Glockenspiel. Mm-hmm. And before my adoptive father died, he was telling the story, and I had a recording of it. And he said that they had paid anonymously to have that refurbished after World War II, and that he wished he had not done it anonymously. So there's a whole chapter in there on some miracles that happened and my connecting his name with that, because the director of the Glockenspiel had never heard the story, archives never heard the story, a book came out 1 month before I went over there with my birth father, my adoptive father's name in it. And so we've been all the way up to the top. We've started it manually 3 times. Some birth relatives have also started it. And my granddaughter, when she was a year old, she got to start it. So that's a whole nother chapter just full of joy that had nothing to do with the adoption, but it had a lot to do with miracles.
Well, be sure to check out Miss Ann's book, Blessed by Adoption. Go to her website and order that, or you can go to the Fort Payne Library and check that out from Miss Cynthia. And we appreciate it so much. And thank you for Grand Oaks Farm for letting us be here and come and check out their lavender. It's gorgeous, isn't it?
Oh, this is I love coming here. It's so peaceful, whether the lavenders are in bloom or not. Mm-hmm. And I can see why a lot of photographers come out here. And a lot of weddings. I can totally see why. It's just a beautiful facility. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
I enjoyed it.
Thank you.